So this morning, first, I'm going to start with a few things that are going to feel a little disjointed, okay? As I preach, we're going to start with a few things that are going to feel a little disjointed. You're going to wonder where I'm going. That's fine, because I'm going to wrap it all up by the time we're all done. But first off, I want to talk about the vision. Our vision here at Life Church is love God, love people. Say it with me. Love God, love people, okay? Our mission here at Life Church is to connect, grow, and serve. Say it with me. Connect, grow, and serve, all right? So here's why this is important. Because here at Life Church, we want to do two things that are really important that we believe God has called us to, and that is to love God. That's why when you come to Life Church, you're going to experience us really, genuinely loving God. We love God with every part of our being. That's why our worship looks like it does. That's why we do what we do. That's how we look. That's how we feel. It's who we are at the core of who we are. We love God, okay? And we love people. That's why when you come to Life Church, you're going to feel loved, because we actually do. We really actually love you. We actually think about you. We really do pray for you. We do really care about our city and wish that it would get saved all of the way with all of our being. We love people actually here at Life Church. And here's how we believe that God has called us to accomplish that task. That is to connect with people. That means things like saying hello. We believe that people should say more hellos to other people, as opposed to walking out the door and going straight to your car. Hey! Anyways, we also believe that people should connect with God, right? That connecting with God is really vital to you, like being a saved person. And then we believe that we should grow, and that growing is important, that you should grow with God, and that growing with God is going to be a fruitful thing. You shouldn't be a baby forever. You should mature into a full Christian human who can share with what you know, right? We believe that. We also believe you should grow with people. That means you should grow up and start being around people. Here's the thing. We also believe that you should serve. And here's why. Because in order for you to apply what you have learned, you must have application opportunities. And so we believe in serving, not because we just have a lot of ministries and we want you to be involved in stuff. We believe you should serve because you should have opportunities to use what you've learned, to put it into action, to like really love God. And to really love people and to really do these things, you need to have opportunities to serve so you can apply it, correct? All right. So this morning, that's our vision. And I want you to understand, today is Life Group Sunday. Hey! You're going to hear so much about life groups today. By the time you're done, you're going to feel like you're in one. But you still need to sign up and begin one. Cool? So on your seat, we have these things called life group menus, and I want to encourage you, feel free to look at that even while I'm preaching. You're not going to offend me. Look at it, check it out, start thinking about which life group you want to join. Inside, you're going to find a card. Go ahead and fill that card out with what life group you want to be a part of, your name, your number, some information there. And then at the end of service, you're going to go out those doors and turn it into a table that's out there, okay? So feel free to take a look at that. But today, since we're talking about growing, I want to give you how we're going to do this. First off, I'm going to read a verse. Then I'm going to read a story. Then I'm going to ask a question. And then we're going to pray. All right? First a verse, then a story, then a question, then I'm going to pray. You guys ready for this? Are you in it with me? Are you here? Are you awake? Are you ready to respond? Are you ready for God to make a move this morning? Are you ready for God to do something new in your life? Are you ready? Come on, here we go. This is my verse. This is the verse I felt was appropriate for today. This is 1 John 3, verse 18. It says this, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions." Dear children, let's not merely say that we love one another. Let's show the truth by our actions. Okay, so here's the thing. Love is best shown. Love will always best be shown. Love is best communicated through action. And that you can say you love somebody all the time. In fact, there are so many in this room who you know you've been lied to about love in your lifetime. I love you. Same person stabbed you in the back. I loved you. Same person hurt you really bad and didn't show you love. Love is best shown with action. I'm going to read this this story for you, and just for context here. I was first having some devotional time a couple weeks ago, and I was sitting on my front porch in my chair, coffee next to me, because devotions are better with coffee. It's just the truth. And I'm sitting there. I'm praying for the church, praying for life groups, praying for, you know, life, my family, everything. And I picked up this book, and I started reading in it, and I read this story, and I just felt, I felt the Holy Spirit driving me and telling me, like, hey, we need to share this story. It's a powerful story, and this is what it says. This is Kevin and Susan's story, and this is about their small group. Kevin and Susan and their small group. In late 2001, we had just gotten our youngest daughter off to college, and we're planning to move into the empty nester stage. It turned out God had different plans. We found out we were going to start all over. Susan was pregnant. Once we got over the shock, we started planning on raising one more child. At the 39th week, we had our last doctor's visit. All was well, and we scheduled a C-section. That weekend, Susan noticed the baby wasn't as active as before. But she figured it was not unusual. On Monday, she called our doctor to let him know about this, and he had her come in. He was struggling to find the heartbeat and sent her to the hospital for some further tests. As I drove to the hospital, I called one of our small group members and asked that the small group keep us in prayer. The test at the hospital revealed the same. They couldn't find a heartbeat. Turned out, Chloe's umbilical cord had gotten wrapped around her waist and leg. And it was determined that we had probably lost her that Friday. Susan and I were devastated beyond words. One by one, members of our small group started arriving at the hospital. In the middle of the day, they all dropped what they were doing. Left work, left the gym, left whatever they were doing, and came to be with us. They spent that afternoon and evening with us, praying with us, crying with us, hugging us. The following morning, our doctor induced labor, and once again, our small group was there to support us. One member, who is a teacher, hired a substitute so she could be there with us. Even though they were a room away, we knew they were there for us. The doctor delivered Chloe. The nurses put her in a dress we'd brought, and they left us to spend some time alone with her. Words can never adequately describe what it's like for a dad to hold his dead daughter in his arms. We can't even imagine how much tougher this would have been if we had to go through it without our small groups. being part of a small group, having them go through this with us, having them share our joy in the beginnings and share our hurt in the end was such a blessing. We went through a brutally tragic situation, but having our small group with us took some of the brutality out of it. With God and our small group, we traveled through this journey. And 14 months later, they were there with us again when our daughter Sophie was born. We are grateful for Sophie, comforted that Chloe is with God, and blessed to have our small group family. So, to paint the picture, I'm sitting on my front porch, having prayed, thinking about my life and where life groups have been there for me. You know, while my dad was dying, they were praying for me. While I was going through hard moments, my life group was praying for me, not Pastor Josh, me. And that's what life groups are really about. And I sat there on my front porch, crying my eyes out, in full-on panic crying because of God's love, because really what life groups are about, and we talk about it oftentimes, we talk about it's a great place to learn, right? And teaching, and we talk about the functions of life groups, like the functions of life groups are what life groups are about. But what life group really is about is loving people actually. It's about being in the hospital, crying, hugging, and praying. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about today and talking about growing, I had a question creep up on me. And this was how it started. This is my initial question. How do you get from coming to church to stopping your day in the middle of your day and going to the hospital to pray and cry with someone? And then as I was developing today out, I landed on this question, and I think this is better for our context. How do you grow from coming to church to being the church? How do you grow from coming to church to being the church? Let's pray. God, help. Lord, we need you. We need to hear from you. We need you to speak into our lives. And so, God, this morning we want to hear from you. Lord, if it's conviction we need, we want it. If it's hope we need it. God, you speak and we'll hear it. Lord, you talk and I'll say it. God, but bless this time. Keep it holy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what's the process of growing, right? Because the question is, how do you grow from here to there? How do you become the kind of person who does that for someone you don't know? Really? Now I understand in the context of what they're talking about someone they did know because they went to a life group, and that's my whole point. Because the people who are sitting to your right and your left, that's who you're looking at, saying I'd be there for that person like that. And so under that context, I want to briefly explain what it's like here at Life Church to grow and what our process is, because understand this, that when you get saved, there is a process that takes place of growth. The Bible talks about your salvation as though you become a new creation, as though you become a baby, and that the process of growth for you will look like that of a baby maturing into an adult. So if you can imagine that when you get saved, oftentimes what we struggle with is, I am already an adult. And so we take our already adult philosophies and try to plug them into our baby Christianity and find that it leaves us immature in how we function through life. And what God has for you is he has greater for you. You see, you've got to understand that what we're talking about here is maturing from a child to someone who can believe God to split seas, who can trust that the Lord has a plan for their lives that is great and wild and expansive and massive, to someone who can pray for someone and believe that God will actually heal them. In the moment, not weeks from now, not maybe if God could somehow, maybe you will, I don't know, but we're going to pray that kind of prayer. To the kind of person that says, God, heal this person in this moment because I know that you want to. How do you get from baby maturity to mature Christian? And so at Life Church, we get our idea of growth from the Bible, because how many think that would be a good place to get it from? It's fine. No, I mean, growth should happen. The idea of growth should happen from a biblical perspective. So in Acts 2, there's this incredible moment, okay? It's exciting. It's exciting. So this moment happens. There's these apostles. They're in an upper room. And if I'm in this position, it means I'm about to get excited about stuff. So get excited with me. So they're in this room. There's this upper room experience. They're having this moment with God. God shows up. What looks like tongues of fire happens on their head. Room shakes. God moves. Holy Spirit descends on earth. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's fantastic. They pour out of the room. They go onto the streets. They begin to proclaim the good news of God, and they begin to get excited about God, and God moves in their hearts, and they begin to reach out, and then Peter steps out of the crowd of all of them, and he begins to preach this incredible message about how good God is and that you need to get saved and you need to repent of your sin, which means actually turn from your sin, and that you need to turn from your sin, and that you need to be baptized, and then you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then he goes into this thing, and about 3,000 people get saved, and it's all awesome, right? And the church comes, and the church begins to form, and in the very end of Acts 2, it begins to lay out kind of the direction the church is going to go in. And this is what it says. This is Acts 2, 42. It says this: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. And so there's a model that begins to form here, is that the believers who just got saved begin to want to learn. So like when you get saved, you should want to learn what that actually means. Okay. And that you should want to be around people who know what that actually means and hang out with them and share in fellowship and like eat food with them. Cool. Eat food. That's all you're going to remember. Here's the thing. I know you're hungry. Anyways, later on, for the word said like a pastor. That's so anointed. All right. Acts 2:46. It says this: later on, they worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes. I want you to get those two things. Worshiped in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. So they come to church, which is the temple, and they meet in homes, which here we call them life groups. So they meet in church, they do the corporate things, right? This is healthy, this is good, this is really, 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 really important. Also really, 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 really important is that this carries on beyond these four walls. That this relationship you're experiencing in this room goes out those doors, gets into your car, and meets up another time. That God wants you to be here and in homes. He wants you to go. He has a process for you to grow in. And so they meet in homes, and this is how we talk about growing here at Life Church. See, we talked about the vision and mission earlier, and that's how life groups are. Life groups share the same vision and mission. It is love God. It is love people. It is connect, grow, and serve. So for our purposes, we're going to focus specifically on grow today. And when we grow, in order to grow as into mature Christians, we grow into mature Christians through our lives with God and people. How many know the vision is connected into the mission? So in order to grow properly, you have to grow with God and with people. You have to grow with God and with people. And so we grow with God through solid biblical teaching and application, right? So in order to grow with God through solid biblical teaching, there's two parts. Number one is you have to learn it, then you have to apply it. In order to learn God and do the things that God wants you to do and to mature as a Christian, you have to be a learner and an applier. It's not enough to just know about God. You got to do it too. And so here's what we're talking about. When we talk about learning, learning requires two things. It requires teaching, someone to teach stuff, and it requires personal study. So in order for you to learn, you need to be taught some things. Because if you just learn all by yourself, you won't learn everything there is to know that you need to know. Because by yourself, just in teachings, you're just going to learn what you read and how you read it. But when you're with other people and they're also teaching and you're having that kind of experience, man, there are so many life lessons I learned from other people and how they went through their life that helped me when I went through my life. And then there's personal study, right, where you learn for yourself. So in life groups, someone facilitates a conversation where we learn from one another. So life groups, really, what's going to happen in a life group setting is not that there is a teacher and you're going to get a discourse on what they believe biblically. In a life group, what you're going to have is you're going to have a conversation where we grow one another. And you might not think you have anything to say. You wait until you have an opportunity to say it. And God's going to pour out of you wisdom that's going to be incredible, and it's going to save someone else's life. And so in life groups, we get that opportunity. Here's another thing, application. Well, it requires, in order for there to be application, it requires opportunity to apply something you have learned. We get those opportunities in life groups. So those opportunities happen in your life and will happen through your life. So it's important that you understand that what happens in life group is that we get close enough to one another where we begin to see actual life take place. Where we get to see the highs and lows of what each other is going through, and where we get to experience actual life circumstances, and we get to encourage one another to actual application of what we have learned together. That's life groups. Okay? So we grow with God in those ways. We grow with people through healthy relationships with one another. And let me explain this. When I say healthy relationships with one another, I don't mean how you think a healthy relationship should look. I mean how God thinks healthy relationships should look. And let's say this, that when God speaks about healthy relationships, it is always higher than how you think they should be. Because like, if my husband doesn't do dishes one more time, we're going to have a problem. That's right. That would be like, I get to have a problem with him because he didn't do the dishes. Because that's like, that's fine. You know, cause and effect. Good talk. But here's the thing. That's wrong. Also, husbands, do the dishes. Here's the thing. Colossians 3:11 through 15 says healthy relationships look like this. In this new life, that is to say, the life you are now living, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters and he lives in all of us. Amen. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercies, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, make allowances for each other's faults. What? Who knew that was in scripture? I don't like it, you know? I don't like that. Anybody ever read scripture, you're like, not me, you know? Dodge that one, you know? You didn't, but it's fine. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Also in scripture. Here we go. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So, God's standard for healthy relationships look like mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and get this, I was checking out what that allowance is for other people's faults are, and this is the Greek definition. Pre-committed to patience for faults. That before you even see a fault, you were already committed to look beyond it and have patience for it. Pre-committed with patience for faults. And then the next part, that forgiveness for offenses, that you would have forgiveness for offensiveness. Because let me tell you, as you are in relationships, there will be opportunities to be offended. If you have not been offended in relationships, you haven't had relationships. You haven't. You will be offended in relationships. Someone will say something at some point that you don't like, and then you will have an opportunity. And you need to forgive that because God forgave. And then it goes on, more relationship things. Love that keeps you together. See, we grow in our relationship with God and in peace when with people in both locations, here at the church and in small groups from home to home. It's so important that you get this in your heart today about what I'm talking about, because God wants to grow you. And that brings us to the next part of our question. We're going to bring that question back up. But this is what it says. How do you grow from coming to church to being the church? I want to read this scripture, and I want you to hear my heart on this. This is James 1, 22 through 25. It says this. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. There will be people who will just come to church. And I want to take this out of the context of life groups being what you should be doing. You should be becoming a Christian. More and more maturing and growing. So let's just remove this from the context of its Life Group Sunday, and let's just think of this in the context of we should be better. There are people who will come to church, they will sit in their seat, and this experience will only ever have been a concert and a public speaking engagement. As opposed to something you should put action to. And if that's all this is, if this is just coming to church and filling a seat for you, hear my heart. It could be so much better. You could actually be free. I mean, really, actually free. You could be free of your porn addiction. I don't mean that you just ignore your desire to do it. I mean free. Completely free. Your marriage could be restored. And I don't mean like we are more committed than we were yesterday. I mean happy, excited, dating one another like that first time you met, in love and feeling it. You could have all of the glory of God shining through your life. You could stand on mountaintops and pray, let this mountain move, and it would move. You could stand against the giants of your life, pick up stones, throw them, and watch them fall. You could, and you should be able to do those things. But if all you do is come to church, and it never influences your life, you will look into a mirror of all you could be and never be it. Hear my heart. This could be incredible. There are some things that you read in the Bible that blow your mind that should be normal. Should be. We shouldn't count it as, wow, I wonder if that'll ever happen to me. But if we are just church comers, but it never changes our actual life, back to the question, though. How do you grow from coming to church to being the church? What is it to be the church? To be the church. What is the church supposed to be? What? I know you're sitting in a building. The building isn't the church. It's a place where we gather, where the church gathers. But see, you are the church. So what are you supposed to be? How do you grow from coming to the purpose of God for your life where miracles take place like it's normal? where you pray like there's actual victory through praying. How do you get from here to there? This is what the church should be. See, Hebrews 12:1, excited again. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. See, the church is supposed to be a place full of freedom. You see, we should be able to look into one another's lives and go, do you know my testimony? My testimony is one of healing and hope and restoration. And God is the victor over all things. And let my faith encourage your faith. And let me excite you about the things of God, because freedom is reigning in this place. Let me tell you about the church. The church is the mission of God to the people of God to move and function in our city. Freedom should reign. So how do you get from coming to being the person in your city letting freedom reign? Look around you. Get connected with the people around you and hear their testimony. What is the church supposed to be? It's supposed to be a place where God moves in power and miracles happen as we pray. Matthew 18:19. This is Jesus' words to his people. I also tell you this. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I'm there among them. So what does the church look like? It looks like miracles raining from the heavens, functioning in such a way that people's lives are changed. If I could tell you of the miracles within the last few months through life groups, it would blow your mind. Check this out. We've had a group praying for one of their members for 2 years that they would get a new kidney. They've been on dialysis for 2 years, been praying constantly, every group for 2 years. God, give this person a new kidney. Let her name go up the list. Let it happen. That person got a call a few weeks ago, and in 30 minutes, one of those members of that group grabbed that person, took time off, grabbed that person, put her in a car, drove her to Seattle. She has a new kidney and is doing well. We had a group a few months ago. One of the ladies came in, she came in all stumbling, and she had had an issue with her leg where her leg was like an inch too short. They come in, they pray together as a group, her leg grows back out, and she is now walking fine, because God is doing miracles as people pray in life groups and in our church. It's happening, people. It's normal. It should be. What would the church be like? See, it would be a place of genuine love. 1 John 4:9-12. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. The love of God should be brought to full expression through you when we love one another. So how do we grow from coming to being? Stop just coming. Get involved in places where you can start being. One of those is life groups. One of those is life groups. You can start being this in a life group. So here's our life application today. Check this out. Start growing. Do life groups. Isn't God cool? He's really cool.